So Proverbs 28, verse 26 says, "He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely, or by God's direction, God's leading and guidance, he shall be delivered. Turn to Jeremiah 17, if you would. So we're not to trust in our hearts. We've heard that, and we all know this one probably by heart. Jeremiah 17, 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Well, the one who knows it is answered in 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." Anybody knows anything about horses? You know, reins control a horse. And the Lord is trying our reins. And in a sense, what he's saying in our vernacular would be, what's controlling you? What's leading you left, right, backwards, forwards? What's those things that are driving you beyond his guidance and his wisdom? And if it's our heart, which I think we all really understand, the heart is not an emotional feeling machine. It's just one of our organs, our insides, our bowels, our soul, our spirit. It comes from that, not just our heart. But I think what the Lord is telling most of us, you know, oh, trust your heart. Oh, my heart feels. God's saying, don't go there. We need to be in his word more in the time that we are in right now than ever before. He also says that if we are going to trust our heart, if we are going to lean on our own understandings, don't be deceived, the word of God says. God is not mocked. Whatsoever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. You don't plant apple seeds and expect to get pumpkins. You get what you plant. So I want that, again, like I said, to open maybe a little bit of the word today in 2 Timothy. We can turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I haven't put a title on anything in a long time. I think it's since Howard passed. Howard used to put a title on every one of the sermons that were preached from this pulpit, and he'd make them up himself. And what I really felt this one was, especially with those verses and what we're going to see, is feelings versus faith. A lot of us today are operating and running even our Christian life on feelings, not on faith. And it can shipwreck us. You know, and it's a hard word that I feel like God delivered to me, because I'll share that with you in a while. I've been allowing my feelings to run rampant on me over the last year and a half. And I need to get to a point where I put my faith above my feelings. Feelings are deceptive. You know, God gave us emotions. Let's not mistake that while we're thinking. He gave us emotions. He gave us promptings and whatnot within our emotional well-being, good and bad. Feelings could be good. Feelings could be bad. Feelings can be right. Feelings can be wrong. Oh, I feel everybody hates me. You ever hear that from anybody? Sure we have. But is that feeling true? I've said this before. Don't say that in this church. Everybody thinks this about. Don't say that. You didn't question me. I don't think that. Nobody loves me. No, don't use the word nobody. I love you, or else I wouldn't be standing up here. Trust me. Doug Gibney is not the kind of guy that would share anything of his without God's prompting in the natural. I love you. I feel certain emotions about you. So we've got to watch feelings. So I guess, you know, I hope I drove that home enough, because we have that. And those feelings, some, you know, anger, terrible feeling, isn't it, if it's not controlled? Be angry and sin not. The Lord says we have this line that we can walk up to, but too many of us cross those lines in anger, in bitterness, in lack of forgiveness, lack of mercy. We put our feelings ahead of what the Lord is telling us in His Word to do. So we'll get to that this morning. Paul was encouraging Timothy as we look in chapter 1, that whole thing. Fight for your faith, Timothy. Remember 1 Timothy 6:12, it was fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life where you're called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let's not lose it now. We're right at the home stretch. I really feel that. You know, do we really think we're going to see that rapture of the church? Do we really think that God is going to come in our time? We better think that. Unless you're going to spend, 24 hours a day poring over this word and can emphatically say, I know He's not. We better decide for ourselves now that He can come at any time He wants. And I think He's right on the threshold. He's telling Timothy, fight for your faith. There was a lot of things that were going on in Timothy's time that was trying to push him off the path. If you look at those, you'll see everything that's in there. Fear of the people that were around him, fear of the society that was pushing him, fear of the people that was probably saying, you're too young, why should we listen to you? All the things that Timothy was fighting, I think we are fighting also today. And in this fight, sometimes our feelings, again, going to keep repeating that, feelings and faith, which one is controlling us? Paul was telling Timothy, hold fast to these sound words. This is what's going to pull us through. We're being instructed with the same words. Timothy had pressure in the society he was in. I look around and every one of us, we've got pressures going on, pressure from without and pressure from within. Without is what? The physical, all the stuff that's going on out there in this world, a world that's rapidly changing and I feel spinning out of control that will never come back to the days when we used to ride our bicycles down the road in our bathing suits in the rain, Those days are gone. There's pressures from without. There's pressures from within. Well, what about my kids? What about my husband? What about my wife? What about my finances? What about my job? What about my health? All these things are these pressures that are squeezing us to a point where I think it's choking out God's word and we're running more on feelings than we ever had, or at least I should say I am. I did put something in there. Let's look at Galatians 5. I said we're fighting. It's a kind of a harsh word, I think, but we are not walking a rose petal path, any of us. We've got it made here in America, I think, as far as our Christianity and our walk of faith, as compared to some other people that are fighting for their faith. But make no mistake, we are in a battle to one degree or another, both physically and spiritually. There are battles that rage on that are completely spiritual. There's battles that are completely physical that are out there, and even some of those are demonically inspired. But Galatians 5:17, God tells us this. This isn't a cakewalk. This is a battle. This is a fight. 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. How many of us feel like, oh my gosh, I wish I was here in my faith. Oh, I wish I could do this. And in a sense, that's good because that shows the Holy Spirit is still working in your life and my life, if that thought is in there. But nonetheless, we're in a battle, and the enemy of our souls is trying on that battlefield to overcome us. And he does it so easily because feelings overcome our faith, or what we should be standing on. We stand on our feelings. We even take the Lord and create this God that kind of bows to my feelings. Well, I don't feel he would be having a problem with this. Does his word say he would? Then he would have it. Our feelings are just making or creating this Lord. And I'm thinking we better be careful. We're dealing with an almighty God who gives us his word, who gives us direction, who expects us at one day to give an answer for how we handled what he gave us. But yet my feelings at times, I'm able to just push that out of the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, just to make that point that we are in a battle, that we're in a fight. And, you know, you've heard this one from me. I can't remember who said it, what preacher, but if you don't think Satan exists, then this isn't a fight that we're in, then you've never tried to resist him. You just give in. You give in to anger, unforgiveness, lack of this, a lack of that. This is real. We're on a battlefield right now, and a lot of us have already been wounded. And I'm wondering, how can we stand unless we get to Paul's instruction to Timothy in 2 Corinthians 10? For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. What are we saying? See, it's not me against you, you against me, or us against the pioneer, or those people that are, you know, that's not it. It's so far beyond that. God is saying, wake up, Doug. Your feelings about that person, they have no place in your life any longer. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Don't mock me on that. I've told you to love those individuals. I've told you to witness to those individuals, no matter what your feelings might be to them. You need to get out there in the time that we have, because this fight, the enemy is in there doing this constantly, but we're not warring, as it says, in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare, and that's where we want to get down to today, the weapons of my warfare. What is that? It's not a club. It's not a gun. It's not a knife. It's not my words. It's not my intellect. You know, it's in a sense, it's not even the vote that we're going to be getting to do pretty soon. That's not going to change anything. It's going to change, but the ultimate full picture is already set in God's mind. Our weapons are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's the stronghold in my life where my feelings override my faith? Casting down imaginations, vain reasonings and thoughts. That's feelings. I don't think. I don't feel. You know, Tom used to say when we were doing homeschool way back, and there was a statement about our schools. People asked, why are you homeschooling children? It was because they're not learning how to add, subtract, multiply, but they sure know how they feel. Remember that? And that was something that's not, it's to a degree criticizing a little bit, but that's our whole society today. It's not what's truth. It's not what is founded and grounded. It's how do you feel about that? Well, what does God say about that? And that's what I like to get to. But you and I, these feelings, God is saying in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you underline that. I'm getting tired of feelings. I want to hear about knowledge. What does God say about me? God loves me. God says, have I told you lately where I'm going?
Heaven.
Heaven. Not even paying a penny for it. Going to heaven. God says that. You might feel, I don't feel like I'm worthy of that. Doesn't matter what you feel. God says, if you're in him, you're going. Kicking, screaming, or laughing and praying and singing. It doesn't matter. You're going. Well, I don't think I'm worthy of that. Stop saying that. He thought you were worthy enough to hang on that cross, to be humiliated and shamed publicly. Who are we to say, I don't feel that? I don't feel that could be true in my life. We are making God a liar. It's time to wake up, Doug. It's time to wake up and look at my word, put that into faith, and get rid of those feelings that have nothing to do with that. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, that's me, when your obedience is fulfilled. Sometimes I'd rather just feel. I don't want to know what God, David Wilkerson, she handed me the other day, I threw it. And I've done that 100 times. Why am I throwing it? God said, what was wrong with that? I said, nothing's wrong with it. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. I've worn my heels down trying to serve you. I don't want to do that. I'm tired. I've had it. Those are my feelings. I want knowledge of God. I want each one of us to have that knowledge of God in our lives so that we can overcome our feelings that are driving us further and further, slowly but surely, away from what God wants for each one of us. He's got the best for us. But my feelings could stand in the way. So let's get into 2 Timothy chapter 2. What's my most powerful weapon then as we read that 2 Corinthians? What's the most powerful weapon? And I think the answer is right here. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Because of all the things Paul explained to Timothy, he gives him, not a secret, he gives him the life of how he can do this. He gives him the answer. Timothy, this is how you're going to do this. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That seems too simple, doesn't it? How's he going to hold on? How's he going to realize I got a power and love and a sound mind? How am I going to hold fast to God's word? How am I going to not worry when everybody leaves me, as everyone in Asia did to Paul at that time? How am I going to pray for somebody that mercy and grace would follow them? I'm going to do it through the grace that's in Christ Jesus, not in me. Do we see that? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There's our feelings again. Well, I don't feel very strong right now. I really don't. I feel pretty weak right now. I feel pretty tired right now, don't we? Maybe it's not today, but sometime this week. I feel like I'm, and I can't say I feel like I'm 70 years old. That's because I'm 71, I'm not 20 anymore. I can't lift those things that I used to. I can't do those things. But how far am I going to let my feelings override my faith? How can I fight this battle that we're in right now, every one of us, to one degree or another? The answer is by God's grace that's in Christ Jesus. And I think we've kind of passed that over in our church to a degree and in other churches because of, there's an abuse, cheap grace. Oh, God will forgive me this. I'm having an affair. I stole. Oh, God will forgive me. That's cheap grace. Where do we get off on that? Where do we get off on that? His word doesn't say that. What does my faith say? Not my feelings. So what I have to do is get a hold of this grace somehow, more so than we have. Not my strength, not my grace, but the grace that will come from God when I have the wherewithal to humble myself and understand I've been running on feelings in a lot of areas. And what I need to do now is let my faith override my feelings, and I need to get a hold of God's garment, get dragged along if I have. It's pretty easy in a sense. It's probably the hardest thing that we'll ever do. But if I was Timothy, I'd be looking and saying, okay, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. How can I do that? And I feel it's just the ABCs. Remember that? Easy way to remember it, ABC. Apply God's word to our life. Stop fooling around with it. When he says what he means, and he means what he says, and when he says you put this in your life, it works. So apply God's word to my life. Believe God's word. That's the B, A, B, okay, apply it. Believe that God said it. It's not my feelings. It's not somebody else's opinion. I'm going to believe this no matter what. And then the C is commit. Commit myself. How long? I've been trying that for 2 weeks. Oh, I've been praying for 3 days. Sometimes you need to pray for 30, 40 years. Sometimes everything we pray about never comes to pass. But I have to commit myself that no matter what, I'm going to believe God over my feelings. And with that, I can become an overcomer. I can be victorious in the midst of what seems to be failures. So in our present battle, how can you and I appropriate God's grace and put faith above feeling? James chapter 4, one we all know, but you know, and I'm throwing these out because this is where God led me this week with my feelings. And you're going to have to get your concordance out or get your Google pad out and start looking up all the words about grace and read them and meditate on them and then ask God, help me to apply this to my life. Help me to believe this word and help me commit that I am going to stand on this until I see it come to pass. James 4, verse 7. How do I appropriate God's grace in my life today? Things are falling apart. I'm watching my life go in a direction I don't want it to. I'm feeling things that I really don't want to feel anymore. Anybody, you know, no hands, but anybody ever feel themselves slipping back into the old whoever you are, your name, before? The way you think, the way you speak, the way we act, the way we feel about when somebody is talking. I'll speak for myself. There are some days, and it's none of you, trust me. I just feel like saying, I'll just shut up. Or I see them in the supermarket and it's like, oh my gosh, I gotta go over this aisle here and look at the pickles, you know? Because I don't wanna take 5 minutes to talk to somebody. That's how I feel, because I'm busy. I'm not busy. I'm watching my wife work a ranch. For the last 4 weeks, I sit there and I'm starting to enjoy this semi-retirement. I started thinking, this is, wow. And I watch her and then I think, man, do I really do that much during the day? Anyhow, James, but I got JJ, that's right. I watch the two of them and I think, boy, I'm getting tired just watching them. James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Draw near to God. And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I should have started at 6 where it says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble myself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift me up. How do I get God's grace to override my feelings these days and the promises that he's made? I humble myself, and all that is get rid of my pride. I'm speaking to me now. Get rid of the pride. I deserve better than this. I've earned better than this. Oh, you know, this shouldn't happen to me. I've been so good. Get rid of that. That's pride. Humble myself before an almighty God. God, you know my heart. You know my life. I'm a man of unclean lips. Help me. Bam, he's right there. Before we know it, he can be right there then once, because that's his word. That's one of the ways I appropriate God's word. Oh, but Doug, you know, I've tried that. Oh, Doug, I'm tired of trying and trying and nothing's happening. That's because your feelings are overriding your faith right now. And somebody I know, oh, this is almost getting like pie in the sky theology. I'm not saying speak it and it's going to come into existence. I'm not going to throw out some stuff like some of our TV preachers are throwing a bunch of bull at everybody. I'm talking about God's word in my life. When I take it, read it, apply it, believe it, commit to it, and humble myself and say, I am sorry, Lord. I allowed myself not to believe that promise. I allowed myself to go my way. I think that's when you and I will start to see God. In spite of being tired, in spite of being weary, in spite of trying for years. And some of us, like I said, we're in battles one way or the other, financially, job-wise, marriages, our feelings, health problems, keeping them children. I'm tired. This isn't about Doug, but you want feelings override. We lost my daughter, my brother, my sister-in-law, Pat's sister, my brother's dog I had to put to sleep. I got stomped by a moose. I got this phony thing going on in here now, all within, those first couple of 3 months. I'm tired. I feel lousy. I don't want to come to church anymore. I don't want to preach anymore. I want to pull the covers over my head and say the heck with it like everybody else. But you know what pulled me through? Your prayers and God's grace. Because if it wasn't for that grace, I wouldn't be standing here. And I'm sure you're saying the same thing. Yeah, Alex, I'll name some names. You know, Della, if you're watching, Howard, Dave, let's keep naming them. My feelings, those, you know, why God? We were sitting down saying, we prayed our hearts out. Why did D go? That's my feelings. But God's grace is more abundant. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10. It gets repeated again by Paul to the Philippians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I'm weak. Somehow I'm trying to think of Tom Neal came over and I couldn't even pick this thing up and he just kind of lovingly joked. He says, well, you're sure not the Doug you used to be. I sure are, I'm not. None of us are whoever we used to be. Amen. Physically. But I know spiritually I can be. Spiritually, I could be stronger than I ever imagined if I allow my faith to override my feelings. Finally, brethren, he's saying, if anything at all sinks in, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How powerful is he? How powerful is he? Can you make a rock that he can't lift? Let's not be stupid. His might. Created universes with just a thought. Stars, heavens, us. That's the only thing he really put his... How strong is he? He's withstood ages and ages. And he's still standing and he's going to continue to stand. And he's going to return pretty soon. And I want to be found not feeling. I want to be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 5:10. No. 15. Let's try that one. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Yeah, that's way better. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Mo better. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Who, you know, here's one of those feelings above faith things. Well, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. I don't have muscles big enough. We got an eye problem. It's called myopia. It's all about me. What we've got to do is look at God's word. It says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. When we say we're not happy with our looks, with our body style, with our hair color, with the lack of hair, what we're saying to him is you made a mistake. That's kind of rough, isn't it? That's a feeling. All of us would like to be a little bigger, a little tougher, a little lighter, a little more color, a little more this or that. But by the grace of God, I'm Doug Gibney. And it's too late for me to try to be somebody else. Didn't all of us try that once? Didn't you try that in high school? I tried being a hoodlum. I tried being a surfer. I tried being all the stuff that there was. Tried being a cowboy, tried being, you know, I am who I am. And I think the minute that we understand that God created us the way we are for his pleasure, for his grace, man, I think it's going to open up a whole nother world. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. So anything I say in feelings that contradicts his word, I'm throwing that back in my Lord's face that literally died for me, that gave his life, thought I was worth that, thought you were worth that, thought you were worth that. He thinks you're worth that, Grayson. God loves you no matter what anybody says. And I can go down every one of us here. Read that. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I pray it's not. Paul's saying, but I labored more abundantly than they all. But yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So what's, you know, have we really started looking at that grace of God laboring within us, working within us? I know that each one of us, we know Galatians 2:20. Can anybody throw that one out? That's the one where he says, you know, I'm living, but it's not me. It's Christ who lives within me. And those things I do, I'm not doing them, is paraphrased. God's doing them. God's grace over your feelings today in the situation that you might be in. Romans 5. I'm doing a lot of these because I hope if I stick to God's word, like what's his name, Bob Hoekstra says, I'll never be wrong. Just stick to his word. Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and they're so intertwined, peace, mercy, grace. You know, grace is just the unmerited, unearned, undeserved love and favor of God. That's grace. That's God's grace. And with that grace, he throws out peace and he puts in mercy. That's all coming with God's grace. God bless you. Sneezes are God's grace. Get stuff out. Air, breathing it in is God's grace. Being able to do this is God's grace. We've lost the sight of it because of the way that we feel. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Sounds kind of like Hebrews, doesn't it? Wherefore, come boldly unto the throne room of God, that you might be able to receive or get that mercy and grace for it at your time of need. That's usually the last time we go there, though, isn't it? We don't come to prayer nights when our lives are falling apart. We don't really sit down and supplicate for hours over the fact that I've lost somebody or I'm losing somebody or this is falling apart. We usually go there when things are halfway decent. And then when we do finally come to the throne of grace, we want that instant answer from the bellhop up in the great unknown, which he is not. Don't ever think that. We've got access to the grace we're talking about that can override our feelings. Wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Oh, do I? Or what does that make me feel when troubles come? And again, he's told us within his grace, be of good cheer. You know, you're going to have trouble. You're going to be broke. You're going to lose your job. You're going to get old and hurt. You're going to fall apart. You're not going to be looking like somebody thinks you're 20 and whatnot. Where do we get these feelings? He's saying, you glory in the tribulations. Take my feelings over these trials that I'm in. Knowing that tribulation works patience. The more I go for his grace, the less I go and depend on my feelings, all of a sudden I'm going to get a little more patience. And I don't know about you, but I need it. Patience, what does that do? Experience hope. Hope what? There's that commitment that God is going to, eventually, this is going to work out, eventually. I'm going to see my baby girl. That's not a feeling anymore. Because my feelings, the day Dee died, I thought, what is this all about? And I'm sure you did when Alex went, and you did, and there's all of us are in here with that same thing, and Deb and Bernie, your husband, you know, we've got this. Those were feelings, though, but I've got to grab hold of God's grace and say, I am going to see her again because there it is. I got to apply it to my life, the ABCs of God's grace. I got to believe it's going to happen, and I got to commit that I'm not giving up. I'm going to fight this fight because Satan is trying to take it. Every one of you has that same problem in your life. Every one of you have that same battle going on, raging. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he has given to us. For when we were yet sinners, or yet without strength. In due time, God died for the ungodly. Wow, how much more now? If you're saved today, I'm begging you, like I'm going to be trying, and I know I'll fail, and I know I'll fall, but I'm going to try to put my faith in the time that I have left above my feelings. Grace appears 171 times in various forms in the Bible. It's first found in Genesis 6:8, I think it is, when Noah found grace. Found. Remember that word. And then it's shown, that was the first time in the Old Testament, the first time in the New Testament was from Luke chapter 1, verse 30, when Mary, it said, found grace, favor in the eyes of the Lord. Please understand, this grace is not something we have to earn. It's not something that we have to go crazy to try to get God to give it to us. They found it. Did we hear that? It was right there. God's saying it's right here. It's right here, Doug. Tommy, it's right here. Just take it. I've got so much more for every one of you. Just take it. You found it. Now eat it. And I pray it's the joy and the rejoicing of our heart. This week, watch, please watch, where your feelings in certain situations is trying to override your faith. Turn it around. Just turn it right around on the enemy, and let's see what we can do in the next couple of time frames that we got. Father God, thank you. Thank you that Jesus Christ has that grace in himself, Father, and he willingly pours it out, that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your spirit, Father. So help us to attain to this little by little, day at a time, Father, just to begin to see how that grace can carry us through each and every day. Your word, even as Paul fought with his infirmity in the flesh, Father, he said that he begged you three times to let that pass. And there's people in here right now, Father, their feelings and their hurts and the battle they're in, they're begging, please let it pass. But your response was, my grace is sufficient, is. Not will be, not might be, not could be. My grace is sufficient for you unto this day. In your weakness, my strength can be seen. Show your power, Lord, in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's it.